Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive with us. Today, we're going to be looking at integrated information systems.
Oh, yeah.
And specifically, we have this fascinating case study.
Okay.
About this this system called CVR.
Right.
And it's going to take us on a little bit of a journey through negotiations, power dynamics,
wow,
and how technology is really anything BUT neutral.
I like that.
So
yeah,
get ready.
Okay.
Because this one's a really wild ride.
I'm excited.
So what I think is really interesting about this case study is that it kind of challenges like the traditional ways
right,
that we think about information systems and management.
Okay.
You know, like we get so caught up in the technical side of things, like
yeah,
the bits and the bytes,
right,
that we forget about the messy human element.
Absolutely. And, you know, we see that all the time, like in the real world.
Oh, totally.
You know, just in basic administration.
Oh, yeah.
You know, different departments, they'll struggle to share data effectively.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All the time. And so this CVR case,
okay,
it gives us some insight into that.
Okay.
It kind of shows how controlling information can actually lead to economic and political advantages.
Really?
Yeah. And this was something that Peter Munk Christensen looked at.
Okay.
In his analysis of organizational behavior.
So the CVR system that we're talking about today,
yeah,
is it more than just bits and bytes?
Oh, it is way more.
Okay.
It's... Well, we're going to get into it a lot more
yeah,
as we go through this.
Okay.
But you can think about it as kind of a central hub for information
uh-huh,
in an organization.
Right.
And the way that it was implemented in this case study
yeah,
reveals a lot about how like social forces
yeah,
really end up shaping technology.
Okay.
You know, and it kind of goes back to that idea of social constructivism.
Right.
Like technology, it's not neutral.
Yeah.
It's a political artifact.
Okay. So we're talking about information.
Right.
But we can't talk about information without talking about knowledge.
Well, exactly.
Like data by itself, it doesn't mine much.
Right.
It's how we interpret it.
Yeah.
And connect it to what we already know that makes it valuable.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally right. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, even Daniel Bell, when he was doing his work
uh-huh,
on the Information Society,
yeah,
he even recognized that just focusing on information
yeah,
wasn't enough.
Right.
But the knowledge piece
yeah,
that adds that real value.
Right. And knowledge is always evolving.
Yes.
It's constantly being influenced by
yeah,
opinions and different interpretations.
Totally.
Even in my own field, I can think of so many examples.
Oh, I bet. And Berger and Luckman.
Okay.
They really nail this in their perspective on knowledge.
Yeah.
They emphasize that knowledge is constantly
mm-hmm,
being shaped and reshaped
okay,
through these social processes.
Yeah.
Think about it. Even in your field.
Yeah.
What's considered knowledge.
Right.
It's heavily influenced by opinions.
Totally.
And who has the power to disseminate those opinions?
Okay, so we have the CVR system.
Right.
It's tied to knowledge. It's tied to information.
Yes.
It's tied to power.
Yeah.
Where do we even begin to unpack all of this?
Well, that's where all these different theories of administration can be helpful.
Okay.
You know, they give us different lenses to analyze
uh-huh,
how organizations work.
Okay.
How decisions are made, how yeah, power plays out.
Okay.
And two key lenses that I think are really relevant here
okay,
are sociological neo-institutionalism
okay,
and historical institutionalism.
Okay. Break those down for me a little bit.
Okay. So sociological neo-institutionalism.
Yeah.
It helps us to understand how meaning is constructed
uh-huh,
within organizations.
Okay.
So it's like looking at the unwritten rules.
Okay.
The norms, the beliefs.
Yeah.
That influence how people behave.
But kind of like the culture of an organization.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Now, historical institutionalism, on the other hand,
yeah,
that focuses on how power dynamics
okay,
and past events actually influence how things work in the present.
Okay.
It reminds us that organizations, they don't exist in a vacuum.
Right.
They're shaped by history
uh-huh,
and by power structures.
Okay, but organizations aren't static, are they?
That's a great point.
They're constantly evolving.
You're right. And that is one of the limitations
uh-huh,
of those traditional institutional theories.
Okay.
They tend to treat organizations as like these fixed entities.
Right.
Which isn't really the case.
So we need something more dynamic.
Yes, yeah, exactly. We need an approach
yeah,
that recognizes that constant push and pull.
Okay.
You know, those negotiations that happen.
Yeah.
Within these institutions.
So how do we capture that dynamic process?
Well, that's where the concept of institutionalization as a process
oh,
comes in.
Right.
It shifts our focus from these fixed rules
yeah,
to this ongoing communication oh, and formation of shared understanding.
Okay.
We call this discourse.
So it's not just about like what the rules are, but how people are interpreting them,
exactly.
How they talk about them,
yes,
how those interpretations change over time.
That's exactly it. And that's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Because that brings in this whole concept of definitional power.
Definitional power?
Yeah.
What is that?
So imagine having the power to shape how problems are defined.
Okay.
And what solutions are even considered acceptable within an organization.
Okay.
That's one dimension of definitional power.
So you're basically controlling the narrative.
Exactly. And the other dimension is even more impactful.
Okay.
It's about controlling access to information.
Uh-huh.
And who gets to participate in shaping those definitions.
Right. So you decide who's at the table, whose voices are heard,
exactly,
whose perspectives are considered.
Yes. And ultimately, you're shaping the narrative.
Right. And that's where these coalitions come into play.
Exactly.
You have different groups forming around certain interpretations.
Yeah.
They're trying to control the narrative. They're trying to sway the outcome.
Right. And the CVR case is a perfect example of this.
Okay.
It wasn't just about implementing a new system.
Right.
It was about these different groups vying for influence.
Okay.
They're using their resources to shape how the CVR was designed.
Okay.
How it was implemented.
Yeah.
And ultimately how it was institutionalized.
So it wasn't just like a technical upgrade. It was a power struggle.
It was a
battle for control.
It was a battle for control over information.
Yeah.
And how it was used.
So let's get into the CVR case itself and see how this actually played out.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm excited for this one.
Me too.
Let's go.
Okay. So to really understand this whole CVR saga, we had to like get into the weeds a little bit.
Okay.
And a good way to do that is to use this method called SCTC.
SCUT.
Yeah, it stands for Social Construction of Technology.
Okay.
And it basically helps us analyze how different groups viewed and shaped the CVR system.
So it helps us like decode the social forces behind the technology.
Like, exactly. Like, you know, the IT department might be really excited about the CVR's potential for seamless data flow.
Right.
But then you have the legal department over here and they're laser focused on security and access control.
Okay.
So Scotty helps us see how those different priorities
actually
shape the system's development.
So like everyone's looking at the same blueprint, but they're seeing like totally different possibilities.
Right. And that's what makes the CVR case so fascinating.
Yeah.
Because we see these four key themes emerge.
Okay.
And they all kind of become these battlegrounds for negotiation and control.
Okay. What are the four themes?
So you have the technical design of the system itself.
Okay.
Then you have the question of who's responsible for the information it holds.
Right.
How it impacts like departmental duties.
Mm.
And then like the overall economic consideration.
Okay. So each of those become like a focal point for different groups.
Right.
Vying for influence.
Exactly. And we talked about coalitions earlier.
Right.
And you can really see how they form around these different themes.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So let's say the finance department.
Okay.
They see CVR as this way to streamline budget reporting.
Okay.
Right. So they might team up with IT to push for real-time access to spending data from all the other departments.
Okay.
But then the individual departments, they might resist that.
Oh, yeah. Fearing micromanagement or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that leads to all these delays and revisions in the CVR's implementation.
So it's like a coalition in action.
It is.
They're shaping the system.
Yeah, through their actions and their negotiations.
So it's not even just about like who has the best idea.
No.
It's about who can build the strongest alliances.
Right.
And influence the direction of this whole project.
Yes. And as these coalitions are like pushing and pulling.
Yeah.
Their interpretations of CVR start to solidify. Some ideas gain traction. Mm-hmm. Others kind of fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, those dominant interpretations.
Yeah.
They become embedded in the organization's policies and practices.
So that's like that institutionalization process.
It is. It's institutionalization in action.
Wow. So what you're telling me is that this CVR system, it ultimately reflects the power dynamics
that does,
that it shaped its creation.
That's exactly right. And that's where Giddens structuration theory comes in.
Okay.
It helps us understand how these actions and resources can actually change the structure of an organization.
Okay.
Remember how different groups had different priorities for CVR?
Right.
Well, those priorities, backed by their resources and their influence, they literally shaped the final system.
Okay, hold on. I need to like wrap my head around this for a second.
Yeah.
So you're saying that things like technical expertise or control over information flow, those can actually become like tools of power.
Think about it this way. If a group controls access to critical data,
Yeah.
They can influence decisions about how the CDR is used.
Right.
And who benefits from it.
So their control over that resource
yes.
becomes a form of power.
It does.
Within the organization.
You got it.
This is making me rethink how I even view information systems.
I know. It's a whole new perspective.
It's not just about the technology. Mm-hmm. It's about the social and political landscape that it operates in.
Exactly. And this is a point that Leonard Lundquist,
okay.
he was a scholar who studied management practices.
Uh-huh.
He often highlighted this.
Okay.
He found that while many people advocate for these flexible,
yeah.
anarchic models of organization,
mm-hmm.
they often fall back on seeking these like rational
really?
Top-down solutions.
So it's like we recognize the messiness of reality,
yeah.
but we still crave order and predictability.
It's a very human thing to do.
Right.
And what Lundquist's critique really highlights
yeah.
is that tension between acknowledging the complex reality
right.
of organizations
mm-hmm.
and our desire for these neat and tidy solutions.
It makes sense. So how do we like navigate that tension?
Right.
It feels like a tightrope walk.
It is.
You know, we need to acknowledge the power dynamics.
Yeah.
But we're still aiming for an effective system.
You're absolutely right. And I think awareness is the first step.
Okay.
We have to understand that negotiation and power dynamics.
Yeah.
They're just inherently part of mm-hmm. any information systems development.
Okay.
We can't just assume
right.
that the best technical solution is going to automatically win out.
So we need to be more strategic.
We do.
Almost like political strategists.
Yeah.
We need to understand the players,
mm-hmm.
their motivations, their alliances.
Exactly. Think about it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go into a high-stakes negotiation
right.
without understanding the other side's goals,
right.
their strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
It's the same thing here.
Oh, okay, so I'm starting to see the bigger picture now.
Good.
But let's circle back to the CVR system.
Okay.
What was the outcome of all this maneuvering
right.
whose vision ultimately prevailed?
Well, the final CVR system,
yeah,
the way it was implemented and the way it became part of the organization,
mm-hmm.
it was a result of compromises,
okay.
negotiations, and a whole lot of power plays.
It wasn't a neat and tidy process.
No, it wasn't a neat and tidy process.
It was very human.
It was shaped by all those different groups
mm-hmm.
and their influence.
So the CVR system became a reflection.
It did.
Of the power dynamics at play during its creation.
Exactly. And that's a lesson that goes way beyond this case study.
Right.
Anytime we're dealing with information systems,
yeah.
we're dealing with human interactions.
Right.
We're dealing with power dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dealing with negotiations.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners today?
Yeah. What should they be thinking about?
As they kind of navigate the world of information systems.
As they navigate this world in their own work.
Yeah, in their own work.
Yeah. Here's a question I want you to think about.
Okay.
How can you spot these same dynamics happening in your own organization?
Oh, that's a good question.
What are the unspoken assumptions?
Yeah.
The competing interpretations?
Yeah.
The power struggles?
Right.
That might be shaping the information systems all around you?
It's like we're giving our listeners a decoder ring.
We are.
To analyze the information landscape.
Yeah, to analyze that landscape.
That's around them.
And once you understand the game, you can play it more strategically.
Right.
You can advocate for the outcomes that you believe in.
Yeah.
And you can navigate those power dynamics with more awareness and skill.
Well, I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today.
I think so, too.
Thanks for taking us on this deep dive into this CVR case.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
It's really been fascinating to see how something as seemingly technical as an information system
right.
is so deeply intertwined with human behavior,
yes.
with power, with negotiation.
It all comes back to the human element.
It does. It really does.
You know?
Well, that's a wrap on today's deep dive.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Until next time, keep exploring.
Keep questioning.
Keep questioning and keep learning.
We'll see you next time.